Oh, well, he and I texted yesterday, and he indicated he was getting off.
His daughter's waters broke or something, so he needed to go off and.
Oh.
I just got an email last night, so that's why he's not going to be around. So you know, you got me to yourself. So.
Hey, yeah. I'll take you.
Yeah, fine.
I'll take you. And yeah, so Mike, where I've been, you know, the last 2 weeks, just in life circumstance, et cetera, it really has had it's given me the opportunity to think a lot off and on about what we talked about 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And I know the topic was health.
Yeah.
For me personally, the broader theme that I took away was, you know, it's the relationship with God, back to relationship and responsibility. You know, I find myself through this process kind of starting at relationship, and then I'm focused on responsibility and going to the courts and governing, et cetera. You know, then I find it kind of swinging back and focusing on relationship. And that's just been my journey thus far in this process.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of back to relationship in my personal walk at the moment, personal journey, where that's kind of my focus is. And, you know, one of the parting salvos, I think, from 2 weeks ago was no relationship is easy.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you know, because I think you said something like, because, you know, because suddenly it's not just all about me.
Mm.
So I'm thinking about, okay, well, would that be true about my relationship with God? I'd love for it to be easy, and sometimes it's not, obviously because of the death of, you know, the broader things, the death of my flesh or the death of my will, et cetera. And so I think the theme last week, those were the rails that we ran on. The topic was health,
yeah,
or healing. You know, it's, and I think Peter's initial question was something along the lines of, "Hey, we're praying, we're pressing into this, we're declaring, we're trusting, etc. We're not seeing anything happen."
Yeah,
you know, I mean, I think that's the essence, at least the way I take it, as the essence of the question. It's like, gosh, what's going on? What do we have to do? How long do we have to wait?
Yeah, and I think I talked about taking your eyes off the problem and putting it on the solution. So don't try and focus on what you haven't got, but enjoy the relationship, which will release the reality of what belongs to us, I think. Yeah,
yeah, it wasn't just something along the lines, the way it gelled in my mind was, and this is all to tee up to talk about my questions are, but it was, instead of just seeking God for the healing,
yeah,
you know, ultimately it's a lifestyle of health.
Yeah.
But even more than that, it's relating to God as my healer.
Yeah.
Or experiencing God as my provider of health.
Yeah.
If you will. And that, again, experiencing God as my provider financially, experiencing God as my solver of problems, you know, versus just having the problem solved, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Seem to be the bigger theme. And so that's kind of where I've come back to a few times, you know, at rest he works. When we're at rest, he works. And just, I don't know, just the tension of living there. You know, and I, part of me would like to say, particularly as a Westerner, but that may be, you know, it may be a global issue. I don't really know, but, you know, just with the, we get it done, you got to be moving, got to be doing something,
yeah,
mindset. And I know Jesus instructed us, you know, to be in the world but not of it. That's beginning to make more sense to me personally. You know, living as a king in the kingdom,
yeah,
an ambassador while on this planet. But just, I guess, you know, the root of my question really is, talk more about that overall theme, not just as it applies to health, but in general. And then, I don't even know if it's a how-to question, Mike, but maybe there's not a how-to, but talk a little bit about your experiences. You've kind of managed the tension of that transition, you know, of letting go, like with finances as an example, you know, just trusting God to let go of that and then operating from a place of rest.
Yeah.
Particularly when the circumstances really challenge that.
Yeah. I mean, it is obviously a transition of coming out of an old wineskin model of doing things and working, you know, hard, and, you know, the Protestant work ethic and all that stuff, and into the abundant life that is promised to us in relationship with God. And so the place of rest is me surrendering everything that I have need of, and I trust him. If I seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, that he will do everything else, because that's what he promises. And he says, don't worry about what you're going to do here, or what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, or, you know, where you're going to live. You know, don't worry about all that stuff, because if you seek first, or if you put as a priority your relationship with me, then why wouldn't I want to sort all that stuff out for you? Now, that doesn't mean that we sit back and we do nothing, but we do everything from our relationship, not for our relationship. And we also, from that place, realize that God blessed Adam and Eve. He blessed them, which means he empowered them to succeed and to prosper to the highest level. And then he told them to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. So he empowered them for that. He blessed them. Now, when I'm in relationship with him, I live in that blessing. I live in that empowerment, because it's who I am as adopted into his family, or, you know, in the family of God. You know, it's like, think of it this way. If I was adopted by the royal family of the United Kingdom, I would suddenly have access to the Buckingham Palace. I would have access to the whole governmental system, if in a sense, of the UK. And all the resources that come with it. I wouldn't be thinking about, oh no, how am I going to pay for the next McDonald's? Because I would be totally living in the royal household. And when we're understanding who we are as the royal priesthood of God, and we are sons and daughters of the kingdom, then we really need to realize that all the resources of the kingdom are available for us to fulfill our destiny. And that is the key, to fulfill our destiny that has been agreed with our spirit and his spirit in eternity, not just to do what we want. So our resources and wholeness and salvation, meaning blessing, and in the fullness of what that meaning is as sozo, is in relationship with him. When we know who we are as his children, then we trust him implicitly as a good father, and we trust him to father us so that we can be good sons, and therefore we don't need to worry. Yeah, and it's the degree that you really trust him is the degree that you really know who you are. And then once you're in that, then you really live like that. Yeah, and that getting to that point is the problem, because we have to come out of the old religious mindsets, a lot of them, that have put us into a works mode. of, well, we're working for God, and we're trying to please God, and we're trying to do the best for God, but in reality, the motive for that is not pure, because that's not what God is about. I'm not working for God. I'm working with him. We're joint heirs. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ to everything that belongs to everything. It belongs to me, because I'm in him and he's in me, and therefore I have access to everything, but I only need that which will enable me to fulfill my destiny. Now that means that I need to be in that place of rest and trust, and so that my soul and spirit and body are completely unified and at one. And that is what I've found has taken place. I am not cognitively choosing to decide to do a lot of things anymore. I'm just finding that my spirit, soul, and body are just completely flowing together, and I do things because I'm one spirit with him, and of course he promises to guide me. If I'm joined to him, which means I yoke myself to him, I trust that the field today that we're going to plow, if you like, from that analogy, is going to be the one that he's going to lead me into, and he's going to set the direction that we're going to plow in that field, and everything comes from me only doing what I see him doing, which is about me seeing my destiny in relationship to him. Now I'm free. That means I don't have to do anything that's not in alignment with that. Now, if my destiny carries a blueprint with it, which it does, which has seven spheres of government which are attached to it, and those governmental spheres I need to outwork, then it's not that I don't do anything, but I do that which enables me to bring dominion into the sphere of government that I've called to operate. And that might have a work element to it. You know, God doesn't want us not to do anything, but he wants us to be the source of his of the provision comes from him. He may well use that as a what we do to generate that. He may well use other ways to generate that. That is what we get when we're in relationship with him, because we're at peace with our destiny. And I found that what I'm consciously looking to do is to my spirit to be in heaven while I'm here. So it's like I don't step in and step out anymore. I step in and I stay there. and then the next day I invite him into me, which then he is then my source. He's on the throne of my life in the seat of rest and government, and I'm in him. So I get to administrate that government because I'm seated with him in heavenly places constantly. So I don't have to step in and out. Sometimes I have to remember to focus and to be consciously aware of a flow through my spirit. But I, you know, it's like I pray in tongues, and I'd never decided to pray in tongues cognitively. So I didn't make a conscious decision, oh, right, I'm going to pray in tongues now, I'm going to stop. I just found myself praying in tongues, and then I don't. And then I sometimes, that's out loud, because my tongue just does whatever my spirit tells it to do.
Right.
Whereas before, I had to choose, okay, I'm going to spend some time praying in tongues now. And it was a conscious choice that I put into place. I'm actually finding that I'm making a lot less conscious choices, and a lot just I am doing what I'm instinctively led to do by my spirit being joined to the Holy Spirit. And I found that to be so empowering, in the sense that I just get led, you know, and then the things I get led to do are the things that are blessed and will prosper and succeed, rather than the things I think I ought to do, or the things I might want to do, or even my duties that I need to do. It's like even what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis, and obviously I'm having to juggle sort of meeting a lot of people with other things that I'm doing and producing material and things like that. I find that I used to be very disciplined. Okay, I'm going to set aside this hour and I'm going to do this in this hour. Now I don't do any of that. I just wait. you know, and in waiting, I just find that I'm led. So, you know, this week I had an hour where I had nothing actually, you know, I wasn't meeting anybody, and it was like, okay, I'm thinking, okay, I've got a few weeks before I'm going overseas. I want to be ready for that. But so I took communion and I just broke bread and I just began to rest. And then I found that in the next hour, I was able to produce three messages, which is all the messages I need to do before I go to the US. And it was like in an hour, because I was just led, and I did all three of them at the same time. I had three PowerPoints open, and I was working on all three, and all this stuff just kept coming, and I was doing this and doing this and doing this. I couldn't have done that before, because I would have had to, right, okay, I need to do this, and I'll do this and do it. And I don't do that. I'm looking to be led. You know, I'm looking that leading of the Spirit to release me into the blessing, because I know if I'm doing what God has called me to do and I'm being led into that, then I know that I can know that He is going to look after all the other stuff, because that's what He promises to do, and that actually I am blessed and empowered to succeed and prosper in that, because that's who He is. You know, I'm in relationship to Him. I don't have to doubt or fear that He's going to look after me or provide for me or do any of those things, because I know that He's my dad. You know, and all the resources of the treasury of heaven is available to me. And I'm not just talking about financial resources. I'm talking about everything that's needed for me to be able to fulfill what He's called me to do today. You know, and sometimes it's like, you know, Monday, it was Easter Monday here, we get a bank holiday, so we had the day off. It's like in the morning, it's like we had family down for the weekend, right? All the children were home for the weekend. It's like, you know, I took my son back to the train station and stuff. And it's like in the afternoon, it was like the sun was shining. I thought, great, I'm just going to relax, you know? And so I lay out in the sun. My wife was there. We were just chilling out. And in that time, I was doing all sorts of things in the realms of heaven, in the spirit, but totally relaxed and feeling completely empowered to be blessed in what I was doing. And there's no striving or struggling or trying. I just have to be. Now, I know that sounds very alien to our Western culture, but I just have to be. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't do, but everything I do is because I am, not because I'm trying to be.
Right.
I am. I just have to be. You know, and that has been a process where my soul now does not direct. So I am much less inquisitive. I don't need to know things because I already know them in my spirit. You know, I don't need to be cognitively aware of do A, B, C, D, E. I just start, I'm taking a step towards A, and I will be led towards B, C, D, E as and when I follow the path. And so it's very much being what is led by the Spirit, and that's just in total relationship. Whereas before, it was very much about me ordering things, and I'm not saying the order is wrong, but I want it to be godly order, not my order. And that has freed me and released me to enjoy the rest of my relationship, to therefore completely have a balance in relationship and responsibility, because it's just me. I only have to do the things that I'm responsible for in the relationship I'm in as I'm led to do them. Not because, oh no, I have to govern 15 mountains and I have to do this. Oh, how am I going to do it all? Oh, I need to put a plan. I need to get an action plan. Blah, blah. I don't need to do any of that, because I am a position of government, and I only do as my spirit joined to Him and one spirit does. I feel so much more relaxed and just peaceful and at rest, not having to plan things. in that way. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't plans and strategies. There are. And I'm authorized and mandated to do certain things, but completely at rest, not because I have a duty. It's like, okay, I'm on the church mandate. Oh, that's my duty. I better do it. I only do it when I'm led to do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm totally relaxed about that. You know, I'm involved in a local bench. I'm involved in a regional bench. I only do anything towards those things when I'm led to do them. You know, I'm involved in a lot of governmental stuff in the heavens at the minute, but there's no pressure. There's no striving. There's no sense of fear or if I don't do it, there's just rest. And that is the key. I'm at rest, and then I can do everything from a place of rest. Rest is not inactivity. It's a state of consciousness, of being completely aware that I'm in him and he's in me, and that I am blessed to be a blessing. You know, that's the whole Genesis 12, Abraham's thing, was you're blessed to be a blessing. So if I'm blessed, I can be a blessing. If I'm not blessed, I'm not going to bless anybody. And we all know what it's like when we're stressed and you know, under pressure, we're not really very comfortable to be around, because we're at that place of everyone's on edge around us, because that we carry a atmosphere which isn't good. You know, if I'm blessed, then I can be a blessing. If I'm not blessed, I can't be a blessing. So actually, it's about me in my relationship and intimacy, just knowing in that intimacy who I am in relation to who God is, and then I'm free, you know. And so I just don't get pressured anymore. You know, I mean, a couple of years ago, if I was planning a 3-week trip to the States with like 6 conferences in 3 weeks or 19 days, I would have had to have had everything ordered. What am I going to be doing? You know, what teaching am I going to be doing? You know, am I going to do this? I have no idea what I'm going to be doing, other than I know I'm called to come, and I know some of it will be governmental, and some of it will be to serve and do whatever the people I'm going to want me to do. But I don't feel any pressure to, like, and if it's like, before I go, if there's nothing more that God shows me that he wants me to do, then I don't need to do it. Yeah, and when I go, I will trust him to lead and direct me to do whatever he wants me to do. That wouldn't have been the case a couple of years ago. I would have had to have had everything organized by now, because I'm an organized person. You know, I'm just organized by the Spirit, not by my soul. And that means that I don't need to know the next 15 steps. I'm quite content to know the next one. And then the next one, and the next one, which means I don't have to be striving to do anything anymore. And that's a totally different feeling. I mean, I feel so at rest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm actually doing more than I've ever done in my life, you know, in terms of the time and the things. But I'm totally at rest. I don't need any, because I'm at rest, and I've entered rest. And it says, you know, it says in Hebrews, you know, we need to labor or strive to enter rest. And I think people get that, oh no, what must I do? I need, all you have to do is pursue it. And that's the key. I just have to pursue, stop in doing stuff. Then I can, and that's it. I don't have to do anything. I can just be. All I need to do is pursue my intimacy and relationship, and then what I do will flow out of that. Mm-hmm. Or not. Because if I don't need to do it, I'm certainly not going to do it. And I don't, you know, people will ask me to do stuff, and I will say, no, I don't really think so. Because God hasn't shown me to do it. So I don't need to do it. So I don't need to be, you know, fear of man, or what will people think, or any, all that old rubbish, which, you know, I was under as much as everybody else. You know, I just don't, I'm not concerned anymore. I'm just resting. You know, be still and know that I'm God. You know, well, being still is not doing nothing. In a sense, it is just not doing something to know God. That's the key. And I know it sounds the same, but actually isn't. I am not trying to know God, because that would mean I would be trying to do something, and you can only know God when you're still, which means you're not trying to know him. Because as soon as you try to know him, you're trying to figure out how is he is you're going to know him. You just have to experience him and engage him. You know, it's relationship. You just hang out. You know, there is no relationship without communicating and fellowshipping and doing things together. That's what relationship is. So I just have to invite him to, in a sense, engage me, and then I just go along for the ride. And sometimes that ride will take me into a place where I need to administrate this or do that or do the other. My spirit just directs that rather than, you know, it's part of my plan.
So Mike, the couple of things are going on in my mind as you talk. You know, one is a transition of getting to this place,
yeah,
if you will. You know, and like many, not most people, maybe even like yourself, what I know about your story, you know, years and years ago, my mindset, without even realizing it, my mindset was more of when we get to heaven, all that stuff will be great, you know, and you just do your best, you know, what. And that's shifted, obviously, for me, it's obvious, it shifted for me where it's like, no, that applies to the now, okay?
Yeah.
Living in abundance, you know, living in peace, living in rest, operating from rest, living as, you know, a king in the kingdom while on this earth, etc. But it's the transition, you know, and again, as Peter talked about last week, health, you know, there's one, or financial resources is another. They're not the only two, but in a sense, it's like he was talking, with our natural eyes, we're looking for evidence or fruit that change is actually taking place. I want to be healthy, or I want to have more than enough, you know. And when it's not happening, it raises the question, you know, it's like, what's going on? I mean, this doesn't seem to be working, you know, or, you know, and it conjures up in me personally, it conjures up the very thing that we're talking about. It's like, well, I got to do something differently. You know, I hadn't figured it out. And where I'm at in the process is, I think at least for the most part, and I think I learned this, you know, the genesis of this is probably something Bill Johnson said, that, you know, when my circumstances don't line up with the promise of God, then at least I'm at a place now where it's like I'm not consciously or subconsciously blaming God for it. It's like, hey, I don't know why I'm not healed yet, but you're good. It's not you. You're not the problem. Okay, the problem's either with me or with the devil or something I've agreed to or something in my bloodline or whatever, but it's not you. But wanting healing and wanting to live in wholeness and wanting to, like Peter was talking about last week, still leads me to at least now focus on, okay, it's not you, you're good, but, you know, trying to be, obviously wanting that to be resolved.
Yeah. Well, I think the key phrase you mentioned was, it's not working.
And yeah.
That's the key. What isn't working? What I'm trying to do isn't working, because it's not about what I'm trying to do. It's about realizing who I am, and in relationship to him, all that belongs to me. It's my inheritance. It's as I said, I am now a royal family member who lives with all the blessings of being part of a royal family. You know, all the servants of the royal family are now my servants. So I have all the angelic realm that are God's servants. They become, I'm part of that family. I'm now in that position. So in a sense, I understand that the transition is from trying to do something, to appropriate something, into realizing it already belongs to us. And the truth that you know brings you freedom, but you have to know the truth by personal experience, not by intellectual knowledge.
Right.
So it's not working, or what have I been trying to do to make it work that I would be in health or healed? Oh, I've been meditating on the healing scriptures, I've been confessing healing, you know, I've been taking communion to be healed. I don't take communion to be healed, I take communion to embrace the very DNA of God. A consequence of embracing his DNA is that he is in abundant life, and my life will then take on that abundant image because that's who I am. It's all a consequence of my relationship rather than something I'm trying to do to appropriate something that's already mine. I just need to actually truly believe that is true and live in that experience. Because if God is, you know, Jehovah, all the names, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Makedesh, Jehovah Sekenu, Jehovah Nissi, you know, Rohi, you know, all the different names of God, then if that's who he is, in relationship to that, that is my experience. The Lord is my righteousness. The Lord is my sanctification. The Lord is my health. You know, the Lord is my provision. The Lord is my banner of victory. The Lord is my shepherd, who promises to lead me that I won't want, who promises to make me lie down in green pastures and restore my soul. You know, it's because I'm in relationship and part of him, because I'm adopted into his family, that it's mine. I don't know, why do I have to try and do something to get something which already belongs to me? I don't. And that's our problem. We try and do something to get something rather than this is who I am and this belongs to me. I just have to actually realize this is who I am. I do that because I spend time hanging out with God, who reminds me who I am. I am in him, in that relationship. He is in me. He is abiding in me, and I'm abiding in him. Therefore, I'm in the vine, and the vine is actually flowing in me. I mean, all this sort of stuff is just about being. And that's the key. It's about being. And anything that's not working is because we're trying to do something. I don't have to try and be healed. I just have to realize that in him, in my relationship with him and being part of his family, health is part of the deal. Like being part of a royal family comes with health insurance at the highest level, if you like. But once I know that, then everything begins to work from that. And I think in the process and in the transition of it, it's like we can do things when we are on our mountain that will help frame that in our life. So we can administrate the blessing of God around us. We can call things that be not as if they were. We can move mountains because there are obstacles to the things that are there. We can do a court case to find out why I don't believe what is true. So it's not inactivity, but I'm not doing that to try and get a result. I'm doing that because I'm in relationship. And as a son, I get governmental authority to begin to administrate these things. So as a son, I can determine this or this or this by what I do as a son. But I'm not trying to do it to appropriate it. So, of course, I pronounce the favor of God over my life for my mountain. I send my angels out to prepare the way, to make my way smooth during the day. Yeah, I administrate it because that's my governmental position of being a son of God. And that brings the blessing of God from a hope, because I have a hope, an expectation, a belief that that is true, into faith being the substance of that, a hope, and actually having it manifesting around my life. So there's nothing wrong in administrating from the relationship, because we know our position of government. That's what government does. It administrates and brings the rule of God into things. But I'm doing it completely from a place of knowing who I am in that place of government. And my expectation is that I'm living in the place of rest. And that means that I must be at rest, even if those things that I'm hoping for, or those hopes or expectations, are not yet in physical manifestation, because they are not striving for them. They belong to me, and I'm living in a place of rest because they're already mine. And so I don't even need to think about them. You know, I'm not focusing on them. I'm just focusing in my relationship. I'm at a place of rest, content. Now, am I right now where I will be in 6 months' time or a year's time? No, because I'm on a journey, and I will know God in a deeper relationship. I will have more revelation of who I am, and no doubt I will have that revelation released in greater authority. And I'll be doing things differently in 12 months' time than I am now. But I will still be in a place of rest, you know, and because that's the key. You know, God is on the seat of rest in my life. I've invited him to sit there. Therefore, the responsibility for my life is his, not mine. I just have to do whatever he says. I just have to be led to do whatever he says. That's all I need to do. You know, because all I have to do is seek first his kingdom, his government.
Responsibility for my life is his.
Yeah. If I seek first his kingdom, he promises to deal with everything else. So if he wants me to do something to do with anything which is a practical issue, then he can direct me to do it. Mm-hmm. If not, I'm trusting him to do it.
Right.
I mean, and this practically outworks in various things. My wife was in the car with me the other day. She said, "What's that noise?" And my exhaust or something was rattling and making a noise. And it was like, she said, "Well, you know, what is it?" And I was like, "Well, I don't really know." I sort of was aware of it, and I was like, okay, I need to do something about this. So, okay, God, I hand this over to you. I haven't got time to take this into the garage this week. I haven't got time to do that. So at the end of the day, I'm seeking first your kingdom. I'm doing all the stuff you want me to do this week. Therefore, you need to deal with that. I drove home and it had gone and hadn't returned. You know, and it's like, I expect God to do things because he's got my life. You know, I trust him. Now, if I felt him say, "I want you to take it into the garage," then I would have done so, but I didn't feel I needed to do that, and I just trusted that he was going to do things. Now, sometimes, you know, I think it's not that I'm not doing anything. You know, I'm at this time of the year, it's like, you know, we moved into a new house last year. This is the first year that we've really sort of engaged the garden. You know, I've made a new flower bed. You know, I've put up a new fence, because that's all I enjoy doing things, but while I'm doing them, I'm engaging in heaven.
Oh yeah.
I'm just having a great time putting up a fence, because my spirit is actively engaged elsewhere, and I'm at total rest. And sometimes I can be physically really working quite hard, but it's not talking about physical rest. It's talking about being at a place of complete contentment in trust in him, his provision, his blessing, who he is, who I am. And, you know, I'm still able to do all those things. You know, I like football. I like sports. I still watch sports. You know, I still do stuff. I mean, it's like I'm a normal guy.
Yes,
you know, but while I'm doing that, I can be doing three other things. You know, I'm capable of communicating with someone via email, watching football, having something else going on in the spirit realm all the same time, and having complete peace. Because it's just like, hey, I can do three things at once. I'm quite capable of being able to do more than one thing at a time. And those sorts of things, you know, is where things have changed. You know, I would have felt pressured and stressed about having to do all this stuff, and now I've got to do this, and now I've got to do that. I don't. I just don't. And that has changed dramatically over the last 12 months, really. I think since I really started to engage the first love gate and really get to know the presence of God, in a sense, within me, and the flow of life and the source of life in me, and begin really engaging the living water and being yoked to Him, and therefore just joined to Him, and Him being on the seat of government and the rest of my life, that has changed things significantly in how I feel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really has. And my lifestyle, you know, I'm not hankering after things that I used to. You know, I have dreams and visions and things that God's got, and I have a ketubah and stuff. I'm totally at peace and rest that those things will be outworked in the timing of God. You know, I just have to be responsible for the step I'm making today. You know, and I've seen how then things pattern and work out when you just are doing the things God wants you to do today. Mm-hmm. Because you can't go wrong if you're doing things God wants you to do today. You know, it's like, how can you go wrong? Because you know that you're seeking first the kingdom. But you know, the transition period is one of letting go of the old, so that the new can become fully formed. And it's hard to do old and new together, because the old stops working anyway. And you know, and that's what I found personally that, you know, is effective in my own life. It's just ensuring that I'm at that place of rest because I'm in intimacy and have relationship.
Right.
You know, that's my, because all the responsibility will flow out of the relationship. I don't think about what I'm responsible for. I engage with God and then just I'm led. I mean, the other day I was engaging with God and He said, look, stop hanging around here for so much, come up here. So I'm like, oh, okay. Because He says, look, you know, because I was going through a process, and it's like, so you don't need to spend so much time here. It's like, just come up here. And so I've been sat at a higher level and looking at things from a different perspective, because that's what He wanted. He wanted me to see things from a different perspective. Right. And I was like, okay, this is, I can see things differently from here. You know, and sometimes God just does that. He just sort of, hey, now is the time. You know, and I'm like, well, why didn't you tell me that a week ago? Well, because a week ago it wasn't the time. Right. And that, I don't even bother considering why I didn't do it last week. I consider now, well, this is where He's asked me to go today. You know, and I'll do everything that He asked me to do until He tells me to do something different. You know, because that's all I need to do. You know, but it is a total change of mindset, and it is contradictory to our culture. That is our problem. You know, and the Protestant work ethic, you know, if you don't work, you won't eat. You know, which is, you know, it is, you know, it does talk about that in Ephesians. You know, if a person, well, you've got to take that in context. And the context was, put on the new self. You know, don't try working in the old self to do things for yourself. Actually, you're only responsible to be like Jesus and do the things that the Father showed Him to do. And I think that's the key. You know, I'm not saying everyone should give up their day jobs and all this stuff. You know, we're all in a place where we're all, for the 24 hours that we have in a day, everything should be for God. Right. And if we are in a job situation or in a business situation, we should still be doing that from a perspective of this is all to bring God's kingdom into this situation. Mm-hmm. And so that I'm establishing the government of God in this situation. It's like I'm ruling in my business because I'm called to have authority there. You know, so it's still about government, but I'm not doing it because, well, if I don't do it, then I won't be able to afford to eat or live or have a house. So my motivation for everything I do is to bring glory to God, not to provide me with income. And that's the change that takes place. You're not looking for this to do that. You're just looking to outwork your government and to bring glory to God in what you're doing and to find what is your mandate in every day. You know, because that's then you're free. You know, and when God says, you know, I don't change anything, and God says change, because I don't have to make a decision about doing something I'm already doing, because I'm already doing it because he showed me to do it. When he wants me to do something else, he'll tell me. Mm-hmm. So I'm not looking for, you know, always on, I'm relaxed.
Right.
You know, I'm actually at rest and peace.
Yeah.
And that is totally different from what I used to be, you know. And I know and I feel the difference. You know, it's like everything is vibrating at a frequency which is whole. That's what it feels like right now.
Yeah,
it just feels different from what it used to feel. But I know, you know, we do have to get to that point, and having our mind renewed so that we believe what God believes about us rather than what we've been told or what we think, that's the key. I agree with him, you know, and that does mean a change of how we view things and how we see things. And of course that's something that, you know, may be obstructed by familiar things that try and keep us onto old patterns of behavior and thinking and mindsets, and then we deal with those familiar things, you know, deal with them. And that will stop us going down those old routes, and where we're triggered by fear or worry or anxiety or concern, because actually we're thinking that we are responsible for having to sort everything out. No, he's responsible. And that's the deal I have with him. You know, I seek first his kingdom, therefore I administer as a son his government through my destiny today, and he's responsible for everything else. You know, and you know, and if he's tardy or seemingly late, then I remind him. You know? Well, because we've got a relationship. You know, yeah. We have a relationship, and I say, look, if this doesn't get sorted out, then I'm going to have to do something to sort it out. Otherwise, my wife will be on at me. Therefore, either you sort it out, or you give me the time to sort it out. You know, I mean, it's just like. We have a conversation. I mean, it's like God is real, and just like Abraham was like, "Well, are you gonna wipe out that whole city if there are like 50 people in there? Well, what about 10? Well, what about one? You know, so well, let's get Lot out then. You know, and there was a talk. They were sharing. You know, there was Moses. You know, Moses talking to God. You know, it's like, well, you know, we'll wipe them all out. You know, your God was like, you know, well. I'm going to wipe them all out. And Moses said, well, no, you can't wipe them all out. It's like, you know, your name's at stake here. What about all those people who are looking at you? No, God's obviously just looking for interaction. He's looking for our involvement in with him in relationship, which is, you know, which is really good. You know, it's his desire that this is a relational daily lifestyle that we live in fellowship with him, and it's joyous. You know, that's what it feels, righteousness, peace, and joy. You know, it feels joyous. Therefore, it feels that I've got strength to do anything that I'm called to do because I'm the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's only when I get, you know, not full of joy, you know, and it's a choice, you know, to treat all my situations as joyful. You know, treat it all, you know, brethren, when you encounter various trials. You know, so I realize that there are situations that are in front of me that I overcome and I grow through. I embrace them. Doesn't mean that every life is easy. It means that I can overcome everything that's in my way, and I'll learn to trust God in the process, and he'll equip me to do that in every situation. You know, because I treat obstacles as opportunities, because I live from a place of rejoicing. You know, rejoice always. Well, that's what it's like when you're in a place of rest. You can rejoice always. Even if there's a great obstacle comes in your way, what do I do with obstacles? Well, I tell them to move. You know, because I've learned that's what you do with obstacles. You command them and they move. You know, I don't worry that they're there. I see them, here's something, there's an opportunity for me to get stronger in. I'm going to overcome this, I'll learn to do this. So, you know, I have loads of things that in my life are situations that are things that need to be dealt with.
It's just how you go about it.
Absolutely. I don't try and go about it in the way I used to.
Yeah, instead of striving in a post-fall Adamic way, and that is, I got to do it myself.
Yeah,
it's obviously out of relationship. I appreciate you talking about this. The transition, I know it's different for everyone.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's more difficult for some than others, etc. A word picture here, it's almost like, in some measure, I am looking for the result. Like you said about your car, hey, expect God to do things because he promises. So I am expecting a result out of the relationship based on what he said. And I'm going to call him to, hey, you promised, you know.
Yeah.
In a sense, you are looking for the result. And I want the result, health.
Yeah.
And finances, health and relationship, health in my body, health, I mean, wholeness. I mean, we all want that result. We want to return to what God created us to be.
But the result is an outworking of a consequence of the relationship. That's the key.
Yeah, I get it here.
Yeah.
I get it here. And I think in the outworking of that in my life, I'm sputtering.
Yeah.
So it's almost like I'm in the boat. Jesus is in the boat, the storm comes, you know, and the old world is, hey, why the storm? What are you doing, you know? And I think the lesson there, he goes, I've equipped you out of our relationship. I've equipped you to tell the storm to stop.
Yeah, peace be still. And okay. I think that's very, even the words that he used are very key.
Right.
Be still. Right.
So I think, the word picture here for me, the transition is, like you said, you know, the old, it's hard to do the whole old and new together. I feel like in some places of my life, I'm going, oh, okay, and I'm telling the storm to stop, but it doesn't. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, you know, I'm in the cockpit and I see the airplane kind of doing this, and I'm like, you know. so it's almost like that trigger is going back to the old. How come it's not working? How come... Where are you, God, et cetera? Anyway, for me personally, and perhaps for many others, you know, I don't know. It's just dynamic like that, and it can be difficult on some days.
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, it is. I mean, I think some of the thing is, some of the storms are designed for us to overcome. You know, they're some things, okay, the enemy might do something. I mean, in the boat, Jesus was going over to the other side because he was going to engage Legion and he was going to set a whole people free of a region who were going to see the power of God, and therefore they were going to turn to follow Jesus. So this was a key encounter, and of course the enemy did not want him to go over to the other side, so he put the storm up. But Jesus had already said we're going to the other side, so he was asleep. If the disciples had all chose to go to sleep and rest with him, they would have got to the other side. Because as soon as he said, peace be still, they were at the other side. So he was looking for their response. He'd just seen them, they'd just seen him multiplying food, right. operating right. this miracle. He was just, hey, I've said we're going to the other side. Are you going to act and rest in that? Because if they'd rested in that, hey, he said we're going to the other side, hey, let's go to sleep. Basically, the boat would have just been the other side, because that was what God had already said, and they were acting on what God had already said to them. Their response was, oh no, he doesn't care. He's asleep, and we're, you know, it was all about casting doubt on who God was and who Jesus was. He doesn't care. He's not going to look after us. We're all going to die. But he was asleep. He was at rest because he'd already spoken. And so sometimes, you know, we need to see which mountains do we need to climb and which mountains do we need to see which to move. And that's what the Spirit of the Lord can help us with.
Mm-hmm.
What is God's purpose in this situation? Is right. this a situation that you want me to go through, learn through the process, learn more about my relationship? Actually, this has thrown up some things that, I didn't quite think I thought that way, but I do. Okay, I've learned that one. Now I can deal with that and overcome that, because I don't want to be out of a situation that I'm supposed to go through. I don't want to go through a situation that I'm supposed to be out of. So I need to know very clearly what's what, and so I can cooperate with God in the process, and then grow through it and use every trial, tribulation, trouble as a potential stepping stone to maturity and growth, rather than, why God? I don't ever ask God why, because if I'm asking him why, then it means I don't know him. You know, I'm not going to ask him why, because that's why I don't trust you. What I'm asking God is, what do you want me to do? You know, it's like I'm asking God, is this, I want your leading and guiding in this situation with the wisdom I need to be able to deal with this as a son of God, not as a slave. And that is the key. If I'm acting as a son, I won't be acting as a slave, or a servant, or a steward, but as a friend and a son of God. And that will mean I will behave totally differently from a steward that goes to his master saying, oh, everything is going wrong, you need to tell me what to do. It's like, as a slave, it's different from a son, because in a son, I'm in relationship with him. We're already talking about, he's already showing me what to do, he's already leading me into that, so I can just flow and outwork that and live that out in my daily life, out of the relationship that I'm in. And that means I can have rest in the storm, because I live in the eye of the storm. It may be a 200 mile an hour hurricane going around and round around me, but I'm in the middle of it, at rest. And I may need to say to that storm, be still, or I may need to just stay at rest, because that storm will do something which will have an impact or a consequence that I then will be able to engage in. So I sort of am much less or much more inclined to be seeking God about what he is doing in any situation and what his purpose is, rather than why did that happen and why, you know, I just want to know, what is your purpose?
Right.
What's your purpose in this? Am I right. supposed to go through it, or am I supposed to come out of it? And then I can be completely at rest going through it, and I can be completely at rest out of it. Either way, you know. But it's an ongoing sort of journey of growing and developing and maturing, and you know, we're just at the first steps of all this stuff.
And oh yeah.
You know, it is a process, and we don't have to be too concerned about, oh no, I haven't got everything now. It's like, you will. I look back 12 months and there's been a dramatic change for me in 12 months. How I feel, how I do everything, you know. I thought everything was good before that, you know, and I thought everything was good before that. And it's just an ongoing journey of pursuit, of pursuing him. That's the key. I'm pursuing him. Everything else is from that pursuit in relationship. So, there we go.